with me now, Chief Economist at StanLib, Kevin Lings. Kevin, it's the start of a new week. There's lots of news flow, especially on the political front, where the DA has announced Helen Ziller as their mayoral candidate for the city of Johannesburg. Let's just get your thoughts there, because obviously the political economy does inform the business economy.
Massively, and Johannesburg has been in deterioration for, I don't know, a couple of years now. And it's very visible moving around Johannesburg how much the city has gone backwards in every respect. And clearly, it's been mentioned more and more by corporates. I was chatting to some corporates last week who flagged problems in Johannesburg and the greater area in terms of stifling business activity. And there's no doubt that how the performance of local municipality or metro areas are, that has a huge impact on whether or not the business community is willing to expand. And given that, given the role of Johannesburg in the Saarbrücken economy, Gauteng is still the biggest province economically in South Africa by a significant margin. Wow, it's an urgent thing that you, if you want South Africa to be prosperous, you've got to improve Johannesburg. I don't think the task for Helen Ziller or anybody would be an easy task, but I think many people would support the idea of Helen Ziller coming in. She's done that sort of turnaround strategy before. I think she would be very determined to move it in the right direction, and it would benefit South Africa enormously if you can make some progress at least.
Let's talk about the economics now and the data that we should look at. Again, Kevin, I'm going to ask you to break it down and not be too high level from an economic perspective, so that we bring a broader audience along with us as we unpack the key data points that you've been surveying.
Yeah, so I think there are a couple of key things in South Africa. The one is our inflation numbers look great. There was obviously a concern that inflation would start to move up quite sharply. It hasn't materialized. The last data was compellingly strong. So for the last 10 months now, our inflation rate has been at around 3%. And obviously, that's an opportune time to try and change the target. And the Reserve Bank is adamant in moving ahead with that. I think National Treasury is going to get on board fairly soon and endorse a formal change of the target. I would expect that to happen in the medium-term budget policy statement, which I think is delayed till November. But that would be a good move. And then when we get to that point, let's assume that we make progress to getting inflation embedded at 3%, then there's lots of benefits for South Africa in terms of lower rates, reducing the cost of capital, hopefully a stable currency. So it's a good objective. It's a good thing to strive and to achieve. And I think so far we've made great progress. I have, in terms of my own forecast, got inflation moving back above 4% within the coming months. And so it's going to make the Reserve Bank's job a little bit more difficult. There's still the prospect of them cutting rates, because if inflation is, even if inflation's moving up, but it's moving up at a pace that is surprising people in terms of remaining fairly under control, then there's an argument to cut rates. So it's a possibility they cut rates. I don't think the Reserve Bank's going to get pulled into an aggressive rate cut, but any move down in rates would be clearly welcome. So I think our inflation numbers for the moment are good. I think we've just got to recognize that in the background, this is not all of our own doing. Obviously, the dollar itself has been weak, and that's contributed to the rand being strong against the dollar, and that matters. And the other is that China is exporting deflation and has been exporting deflation for some time, and we're the beneficiary of that. So this is not a time to pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, gee, well done in terms of keeping inflation under control. And we know that there are some price areas where there are challenges: medical aid, electricity, water, education. So there's a lot of work still to be done, but I think we've got to acknowledge that there has been some progress. The other key data point, geez, this number keeps surprising me, shopping. We are just shopping. The last number was July. It was a strong number. There's no doubt that the two-pot withdrawal is helping that. We've had an update on two-pots. It's running at about 3 billion withdrawal a month at the moment. There are over 4 million transactions have been processed by the South African Revenue Service. This has become taken on a life of its own. I think it's unfortunate in terms of withdrawing long-term savings to go shopping, but it's no doubt that it's feeding into shopping. And if you break down the shopping, it's clothes and shoes. Yeah.
I'll pause there for a moment. And as you say, it is about taking long-term savings and deploying it into shopping. I know you're going to give us a breakdown of what that shopping is, but I'm hoping that it is beyond white goods and that this is, if people are using it for shopping, it's for essential items like food and not those items that they should not be spending their long-term savings on. I don't know if I'm making sense.
You are, but it's all clothes and shoes. So you'd have to tell me if that falls into the category of essential items. But it's overwhelmingly clothes and shoes. It's not like it's by a small margin. It, you know, if it was home improvements, then you would see other categories rising. If it was people who are really trying to put that into food, suggesting you using that in order to survive month to month, that's not really what's showing up in the data. This is undoubtedly very focused on one category. In fact, shopping on clothing and shoes is rising at a growth rate in excess of 6%. So we're shopping on clothes and shoes as if we are living in a 6% economy. When you look at shopping on, let's say, home improvements, builder's warehouse, that sort of thing, that number's declining. Almost every month it keeps going lower and lower. So there's a distinct choice being made by consumers. And you would say that that choice is favoring high import intensive products. It's not a huge benefit to the South African economy, certainly to the manufacturing sector. It's just simply drawing in more imports, which have a low price effect because we import in deflation, but I don't think it's ideal for us in terms of growth.
Are you able to already deduce that perhaps the overriding intention behind the two-part retirement system is not working to the effect that was desired, right? And that we are now losing a very, very valuable portion of long-term savings that South African consumers desperately, desperately need?
So my view is yes. I think we are moving into that category. Now, I think you've got to be fair. If you look at the surveys that are being printed and people say we ask individuals who are accessing two-pot, what are you using the money for? Then those surveys are coming back saying, well, we're using the money to repay debt. We're using the money to pay for school fees. All of that sounds great. It's not showing up in the data like that. And so I'm sort of questioning the surveys. Is that really what's going on? Instead, when I look at the dynamics of consumer spending, it's telling me that a significant portion of this is literally going shopping. And I think some of it in terms of debt reduction is going into, let's call it informal debt reduction, not necessarily at the formal banking sector. And I don't think that's what it's really designed to achieve. That isn't the purpose here. You don't want to take long-term savings and turn it into monthly ongoing consumption. And yes, there's nothing wrong if you're running into difficulty, access those long-term savings because you've got a desperate situation. You've just lost your job and you need to survive and you don't want to have your house repossessed. All of those things, there's a strong argument for that. I think this has gone beyond that. The number of people accessing it, the extent of the access, where it seems to be showing up in the data, I think this is less than ideal for a country that has a very low savings rate. I don't think it'll change. I think it's now become embedded in the system, and obviously you can repeat it on an annual basis. I think it's going to become just like the social distress of relief grant, the 300 that started off as a low number. I think it becomes embedded in the system.
I've got one more question. News out of the US that Donald Trump is saying that the economy will shut down. The US country will shut down while they negotiate with the Democrats. Give us the layperson's take on what this actually means.
Look, I think that all of those types of statements are way over the top in terms of what they're likely to materialize. I think my take on where the US sits at the moment, it's under pressure. And I think that pressure is starting to feed back into the Trump administration a bit. Now, we've seen that in a range of areas, including probably most importantly, the labor market. And there's no doubt that the Trump administration is willing to use these types of very strong negotiating type stances in order to get some sort of outcome. But if I look at, has that worked? By that I mean, is the U.S. economy in a better shape now than it was before Trump came to power? And the answer is emphatically no. You've gone backwards. You've had a significant opportunity cost. The economy's weaker than it was. Employment's weaker than it was. Inflation's higher than it should have been. You haven't cut interest rates. There are many proof points. And so I think that that tactic probably continues on. I think it causes more damage. And I don't think it really gets I don't think it gets the U.S. anywhere. So you would hope at some point there's some moderation, some more of a practical approach to how policy is constructed.
Given Lings, Chief Economist at Stanlib, thanks so much for joining us here on BizNews.